Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Ashton.
Ashton, Peter Austin, not here. He's got the plops. He's got the plops. Peter Austin is unfortunately unwell this week, so is unable to join us. But we are going to smash it, kick it out of the park and do it well good in that. It'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Are you well?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm all right.
Yeah.
Seems to be potentially a little bit of a sickums going, jumping around the office at the moment.
Yes.
James Jenkins was off sick yesterday. He's not very well.
James.
And he was saying he's not feeling 100% today. Mm. Me and Ben were just saying that we also don't feel particularly 100%.
No.
So hopefully we won't all be sickums next week.
We can ride it out.
Yeah.
Big strong boys and girls.
Yeah.
We'll be
we're
fine.
We're just going to power through it.
I'm sure we'll be.
Yeah. We'll I refuse to miss a podcast.
No, you've not done it yet.
I've not done it yet.
I
missed one in January, I think. I wasn't very well.
Uh-huh.
And then I think I missed one like the week after I started because I was in holiday.
Yeah.
In the end of May because I'll be on Hollabobs.
Yeah, I'm going to miss one in July, I think.
I'm going to miss one in July too.
Cool. Maybe we can miss one together and then Peter can do it all
on
his own. This is a video game podcast, as I said, and each and every week we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. Ashton Matthews, do you have the ad read in front of you?
I do, in fact, Ben Potter. Now, this was supposed to be ready a couple of weeks ago, but due to some kind of changing of plans and taking a different path and just kind of not listening to instructions, it's only coming out now. It's meant to come out Easter, which, as we all know, is the religious holiday of the Easter Bunny.
Big G's.
So this is, of course, a new parable added to the Bible. Brand new, ultra deluxe parable.
New parable.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Fresh off the press, new parable.
Okay.
And it's Stanley's parable.
Right.
Yeah. Ultra deluxe edition, because it's so good.
And that's why it took a little longer to come out, because
people weren't listening to
the narrator potentially and making
taking the wrong hallways, getting lost,
Now it's in there, it's in the new Bible,
the Stanley parable.
Wow.
Ultra deluxe.
Where can I buy that?
I guess wherever you can buy a Bible, I guess.
Where can you buy Bibles?
Bookshops sell Bibles?
I feel like they just sort of
churches
give them out.
Churches sell Bibles?
I don't know that churches sell Bibles.
The bedside table of any hotel you've ever been to?
I checked my bedside tables at the most recent hotel I stayed in. No Bibles.
What?
Because I was going to do a little Jezzes pray.
Yeah.
As I'm known to do.
Yeah.
And there was no Bible.
No Bible.
Absolutely distraught. Yeah, did a big complaint.
Yeah, well, I don't know where you can actually buy a Bible. So if you know where you can buy a Bible, then that's where you can get Stanley's parable from.
Stanley's in there.
Yeah.
Is this real?
No.
Oh, bugger.
But I don't actually know where you can buy a Bible from.
I actually genuinely don't. No. I assume most bookstores, but
it
at the same
sell
time,
like a Bible.
They just sort of, the people on the street will just give you one.
That's true, like a little tiny one.
Yeah, but it might be like their strange one where they've added their own parables.
Yeah, that's true.
It's where like little Easter eggs in there.
Little bonus bits in.
Master Chief shows up during Revelations.
Uh-huh.
Be great. I'd read that. No, this is not our sponsor. We are sponsored, as we are each and every week, by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com forward slash team triple jump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast. We have loads of other tiers available as well. Please go check them out. The Patreon is jumping right now. Lots of new patrons, and it's really exciting.
But that's not all, Ben. We also kind of are sponsored by facebook.com/team triple jump. If you fancy joining the Facebook page, we're really close now. 300 babies away.
300 babies.
From 10,000.
Yeah.
And we can make a little bit of moolah.
And we'll stop bothering you.
We will stop bothering you.
It's so simple.
We'll just stop blabbering on about it. Yeah. I know that you're probably sick of it by now. Sorry.
I'm not. Go follow the page if you haven't.
Thanks.
Because probably the people who are most sick of it haven't followed the page.
Yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous girls follow the Facebook page.
Yes, they do. So go get it done.
If you wouldn't mind.
Ashton, question one.
Yes, this comes from David Lever. David says, "Hiya, Pab. Have you ever encountered a video game? Have you ever encountered video games mentioned in a weird or unexpected context? I was walking past a nightclub in Japan and heard them belting out a remix of the Legend of Zelda theme. I didn't go in, and I still regret it. Oh. Keep up the fantastic work, David. P.S. The time of BAP is over. Long may Pab reign."
How do you feel about Pab?
I prefer Abup.
Okay, I prefer Bapa.
Bapa.
Papa, will you tell me a story?
Papa.
Papa.
Oh, papa.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, what?
The only weird places I've encountered video games are, there's a pizza place in Leicester that I used to drive past all the time to get home.
Mm.
This is called Mario's Pizza. I'm going to see where I'm going with this.
Okay.
And Luigi, they had a picture of Mario on their sign.
Yeah.
That was just kind of like, had a thumbs up.
His thumbs up. Good pizza served here.
And then that was there for a couple of weeks. And then we drove past and they'd taken the sign down and replaced it with a regular, just, I don't know if they'd like just painted over Mario, but he wasn't there anymore. And then a couple of weeks later, it returned with a different picture of Mario, but still Mario up on the sign. Mm. And then I think eventually they changed the name of the whole pizza place. It might actually be a chicken shop now, but I don't know if they were legally allowed to have Mario on their sign. I get sneaky suspicion that they are not.
And no, then probably not.
At one point I saw it on, like, I think it was Facebook or Twitter, like a thing of making fun of like people who use copyright things but incorrectly. And it was on one of those. And I was like, that's Mario's Pizza.
I know that pizza place. Reminds me a lot of the of when Endgame came out, and there was the Thanos bit where he's got all the stones and he clicks his fingers, but it's in Spanish because it's a Mexican restaurant. And he goes, yo soy inevitable, or something like that. But then he's not got the shock. There's no stones on there. They've been pilfered. Who's standing opposite him? The portly Mexican owner of this restaurant, who says something back to him in Spanish and then clicks his fingers, at which point Thanos evaporates, as he does in the film. And then it's an animation of him like twerking and dancing with like a sort of samba version of the Avengers theme playing.
Love it.
And it's just got, you know, in Spanish, like, come to our amazing restaurant. Perfect.
Perfect.
So good.
I think that copyright laws should be revoked. Because look at all the fun we can have when everyone's owned.
Exactly.
Everything.
Exactly. No laws. Get rid of all laws.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I think so too.
I'm going to try and find that video now.
Yeah, please.
The music is great.
I would love to watch it. The other one that I have is when I was in my drama class in year 12, so I was like 15, 16? 16 must have been. One of the other groups had a song in their performance. And I had they were like playing it and I didn't know what it was. It was kind of like funky. And then a couple years later, I was playing Undertale and I was like kind of just doing Undertale things. And I realized that the song that they were like doing their performance to was Megalovania.
Okay.
And I was like, and I'm not saying that these girls didn't play video games, but I don't know their lives, but these girls
didn't play video games. Okay.
I think they just happened to find this and be like, well, this is kind of like techno-ish and we're doing a technology performance. This is kind of like
the bleeps and the bleep 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 bleep.
And the performance was like weird and they had like white masks on because of course they did.
That's so deep.
And they were wearing black. You could just see their white masks.
That's so deep.
So deep.
That's so clever.
I don't really know what it was. I can't remember what it was about, but they used that song. And it wasn't until a couple
17
years later.
And this is deep and meaningful.
Yeah. And I still don't really know why they used it or how they found it. But I mean, it was a good song.
Hey, I'm glad it showed up. That's awesome.
Did you find the video?
Yeah, I've got the video. Yeah, I'll play the audio. Let's here we are, breaking all the rules as we just said.
Where is this?
Yes, it's got Thanos twerking in front of like various Mexican foods. It's fantastic. If you just search Avengers, I searched Spanish restaurant. That's not right. It's Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
It pops up. You'll know exactly.
You'll know when you see it.
It's so good. I've never really encountered video games in weird places all that much. I do remember, though, as a child, being so excited when video games would show up on TV, like general terrestrial television before Freeview and, well, I think Sky was around, but we didn't have Sky.
Mm.
So like on CBBC, yeah. Blue Peter, CITV, BBC News, the Gadget Show and stuff.
I love the Gadget Show.
Whenever the games would pop up, I'd be like, Mom, look, it's the thing I like. Look, it's like, it's big, because it just felt like it was never showcased in that context. It was not that it was looked down on, gaming, and to an extent it still is. Even though back then it was still a huge entertainment industry. I don't know if it was the biggest in the world as it is currently and has been for some time, but certainly back then it was still massive. And yet it still felt like a novelty to see games featured prominently on the television. But there was an example recently after, I think it was was it St. Patrick's Day party?
Yeah.
At our senior editor Kieran's house. I didn't go, but the following day a few of us met up at the pub to just sort of hang out. And when I was getting a drink at the bar, there were three people at the bar, and I swear to God they were talking about Elden Ring, but they were not giving me enough clues to know for sure that they were talking about Elden Ring, because I really wanted to join in. So that as I was ordering my drink, I could just hear them saying things like, yeah, so I beat this boss the other night. And like I got this sword, and I was just thinking, please just say the name of a boss, just say Elden Ring, because then I could just slide and go, you guys talking about Elden Ring? You enjoying it? I'd had just enough to drink to feel like I could just join in someone else's conversation about Elden Ring. And no, I just didn't get enough context. And so I walked away.
They've been talking about like Bloodborne, and then you look like a right idiot.
Yeah, only idiots play Bloodborne. Complete loser baby game. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a Super Mario on a pizza shop sign. Although I've almost certainly seen that kind of thing before. I've gone,
probably, yeah.
That's interesting.
Absolutely.
And then just forgotten.
Yeah.
I've probably seen that pizza place, to be honest. I used to live in Leicester.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. It's a shame that Peter's not here.
He
seems to keep avoiding us when we do this segment that we're really trying to introduce.
He is never going to get it.
I think he doesn't like it.
I think he doesn't like us.
He did it last week, and then now he's off again. So I think maybe this is the reason.
That's the curse of the plops, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plop curse.
It's time to do our favourite segment. It's what we play in.
It's what we play in time to talk about what we play in. Ashton, what you been playing?
I've had one of those weeks where I've been feeling really overstimulated and I have not wanted to play video games. I've not really been sure what to play, and I know that I've got Final Fantasy VII, but I haven't quite been in the mindset to fight the evil house again, so I just haven't gone back to it yet. And I do need to fight the evil house at some point, but I can't be bothered because it takes so long and it was so annoying and I died or whatever. So I've been playing some Tiny Tina.
Okay.
And
how long are you going to talk about it?
I'm not.
You're not?
I said I wasn't going to talk about it anymore.
So all we're getting is I have played some Tiny Tina.
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't played that much, actually. I think we played a couple of hours.
Can I ask one follow-up question?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it more or less than before? Or the same?
I think the same.
Oh boy.
It's still broken.
Sad.
And I played for about an hour before I got really frustrated. I played Planet Zoo. I couldn't figure out how to put enrichment toys in my wolf's enclosure. I was getting really annoyed because it kept telling me off that these wolves were like didn't have any enrichment. And I was like, I don't know how to give him an enrichment. You're not telling me how. And then it turns out I had to like research it, but then I thought the research was done and it still wasn't giving me any toys. And I got really frustrated. I was having a kind of a bad head day. And I hit my keyboard and I turned the game off.
Oh, no, Ashton.
And I didn't want to play anymore.
Did you go for a little walk? Did you cool off?
I just went to bed.
You just went straight to bed?
I've had enough. I'm off to sleep.
That PC is your enrichment tool. Yeah. And it didn't work.
So I've not played a lot this week. I've been a bit like,
that's okay.
A bit sad boy, but
that's okay.
Maybe this week I'll play more.
No more sad boy.
No.
Just try being happy, you know?
Okay, cool.
Give that a go.
I'll give it a go.
That's a shame, though. I've definitely been there where you play like 5 minutes of a game and then just go, you know what? Flip this. Not today. Can't be doing that right now. Yeah. I'm going to go either to bed or get into bed and look at my phone. Look at the small terror rectangle for a while. Yeah.
I'm just going to watch TikToks in 3 hours and
That's what I do.
You just watch TikToks that I send.
Exactly. Yeah, I do watch TikToks, but only the ones that Ashton handpicks and says, look how terrible this is.
They're all great. What have you been playing?
I played a few things. A little bit more Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. Shock. Tiny bit of Knowledge is Power and Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes.
Okay.
Because I was with my family briefly last weekend for a very early birthday celebration because it's the only time we were all free to meet up before my birthday next month. And they love Knowledge is Power, so that's always a hit. Mm-hmm. That always goes down well. With my brothers and sisters, we play through, as they call it, Man of Madras. because I introduced them to Until Dawn and Man of Medan, obviously the first Dark Pictures anthology game. And so Man of Madras has just become a catch-all name for all games developed by Supermassive now, including Hidden Agenda,
which
is also a big hit of my brothers and sisters. We started House of Ashes, the one with Ashley Tisdale.
The one that we played recently? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't know the names of any of them. I just...
Ashley Tisdale is the actor, right? You know who the...
I don't know the names of any of the games.
Because you said her name so many times when we were streaming. Sharpay?
Sharpay from High School.
High School Musical. Yes. Yeah. So we started playing that at Christmas, which was the last time we were all properly together. And then my sister got COVID on Christmas Eve, which then threw Christmas into complete disarray anyway. But the save file was literally 23rd of December at 1 a.m. is the last time that we played this save file. So there was a lot of trying to remember what the hell had happened.
Yeah.
But we managed to squeeze in a little bit of that, which was fun. The main thing I played this week, though, as threatened the other week, was Blood and Truth, the PlayStation VR game. Yeah. Which is sort of a full spin-off of the London Heist, which is a little taster demo you got with your VR headset, the PSVR. I started it on Tuesday and then finished it yesterday at the time of recording. It is so good. It's really, really, really good. There are moments in it that are just a bit kind of gimmicky, like you've got a little toolkit and you've got to like lock pick and stuff, and it's kind of finicky and it's kind of annoying and it ruins the flow, and it is basically just one shooting gallery after another.
Yeah,
but as like a little gangster story for like 5 to 6 hours long, it's really good. And much like many of the games that I lament for being like stranded on the Vita, even though they kind of have to stay there because they use touch controls and stuff, the same deal applies here, where I know it wouldn't really be possible to port it out of VR.
Yeah.
But it's so good that I'm kind of sad that it's stuck there and very few people are going to play it anymore.
Yeah, I think you can play it on Oculus as well.
Can you?
I think so. Was it Blood and Truth?
Blood and Truth. It's an exclusive. I'm fairly sure it's an exclusive. If it's on Oculus, that's great.
There's definitely one that I saw recently where it had the word blood and I thought, oh, is that the one that you mentioned? But...
That's all right. Mainly it's the performances in it that are so good because it really does have that high quality, although it's a bit blurry because it's PSVR, it does have that really high quality Sony presentation. So it's clearly all mo-capped and everyone was recording their lines in the moment. And all the performances are really good. Like all the characters are very sort of stereotypical and the story's a bit rote, but it's like I'm so impressed by it. I think it's really good and really good fun. And you can obviously, you've got the two move controllers that control your hands, and if you hold down a button, you'll cycle between thumbs up, like the sort of devil horns, rock on, a two finger salute and a middle finger. Mm-hmm. And so you can just be like, I was like tied to a chair being interrogated, and my thumb, I was just had my thumbs up, just like, hey, having a great time here. Someone's like, my sister is talking to me, and we're talking about the plan for like the evening's gangster activities. And I've just got my middle fingers up going, just like all around the room, just being a complete idiot. Oh, it's so fun. Like genuinely. Mm. I think one of the best VR games I've played.
I need to put you in Half-Life Alyx.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know Half-Life Alyx is the gold standard, but in terms of the limited stuff that I've had on PSVR, and I played most of the exclusives, as like a narrative-driven experience, really impressed.
Yeah.
So impressed by that, and I would love a sequel, although I don't know how likely that is. I don't know what Sony London Studio is up to now. Was it the same game?
No, it's a different game, but has a very similar name.
Okay, well, Blood and Truth, if you haven't played it, highly recommend it. And now the VR, for the first time since I got it, is all packaged back up in its original box, and I don't think it's ever going to come out again. Oh, but I really enjoyed the time that we've had together over the past 3 weeks. reconnecting. It's been delightful.
Yeah, that's good. I need to put you in Half-Life
Alyx. I'd love to try it. I'd really like to play it.
Well, once I've cleaned my flat, everyone can come over.
How likely is that?
If I book people in to come over, then I'll clean my flat.
Okay. Well, then maybe that sounds like
a plan. But no one's ever free, so...
Well, you've literally never asked us to come over.
I did, and no one was free. And then I got sad, and then everyone came into your house instead.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Well, listen, what we'll do, and they're all a witness to this, is that you will ask, and you will give maybe a couple of weeks' notice.
Yeah.
And then we'll make it happen. And you can clean your flat. Yeah. When was the last time you saw the floor?
I can see the floor of my kitchen.
Okay, right.
Not cool. Of my bedroom.
Should we move on to question two?
Yeah, why not? Callum Straw
has a question, and he says, hi, Bap. I know you guys aren't the biggest fans of CGI trailers or trailers that don't show in-game footage, but I'd love to know what some of your favorite CGI / mainly CGI trailers are. I'm a particular fan of the Destroy All Humans remaster trailers, partially because they capture the feel of the games perfectly, but also because of the use of Rammstein songs, with Crypto singing to their songs throughout both trailers. For all the disdain towards them, they can be fun, and if used properly, can build hype while still giving fans an idea of what the game will be like. Keys, Gallum.
I don't hate CGI trailers. I really like CGI trailers. I just don't think a game that's coming out, say, next week should be only have CGI trailers.
I agree with Callum in that I think CGI trailers can build hype effectively, but gameplay is king, right?
I just want
like a launch trailer for CGI is probably fine. Mm. You know, something that you roll in cinemas or whatever, you know, to get out there and build the hype. You know, they did a lot of that stuff with Skyrim. But if you're announcing your game and all I'm seeing is just irrelevant stuff, it doesn't do it for me. I want gameplay. I want to see what's going on. But there have been some fantastic CGI trailers. There's no denying that. Can you think of any? What's going on your microphone?
Sorry, there's something on my microphone. I just noticed it and it was kind of put me off.
What is it?
I don't know.
A little white thing.
Yeah.
Those stinky wrestling boys again.
Yeah.
Leaving detritus, mouth detritus on our lovely Michaels.
Yeah. Anyway. I really liked the Forbidden West CGI trailer that we got with the new game. I really liked it. Thought it was really cinematic. And I liked Aloy doing a little speech, and then when she like appeared over the cusp of the mountain, and there was all the music, I was like, oh, amazing. Though after a while, I did get annoyed because I kept seeing that trailer, and I was like, I just want the game to come out. And
was this when you were saying that it was served to you on YouTube before every video?
Single video or anything I was watching, I would get a Horizon trailer, and I was being like, I already own it, leave me alone. But I really like the trailer. Other trailers I really liked, I loved the Kena Bridge of Spirits trailer from the PlayStation showcase when like that was first announced. I almost cried because the things were so cute. I was very hormonal at the time,
right?
But I saw them and I was like, I need this game.
It's indistinguishable from CGI most of the time anyway. It's such a beautiful game.
Exactly. But like, I was watching it and those little, the rots came on and I was like, I gasped so loudly and like almost cried because I really wanted it so bad. But that trailer was so good. And also a trailer that I remember liking, and I went back and watched this morning because I wanted to like experience it again, was the Last of Us Part 2 trailer, mm-hmm. like the official trailer where she's like playing the guitar,
yeah.
and then like Joel walks
Nobody's sure if Joel is, yeah. is like an apparition
and
or
then
something.
She says, I'm gonna kill every last one of them, and like looks at the camera. And I was like, this
just gave me shivers just thinking about
this trailer. And she's singing like, what song is it that she's singing? I can't remember.
It's not the one that Joel ends up singing in the full game, is it?
No,
it's a different one.
It's a different one. It's a really good song as well, and I've forgotten what it is.
I can hear it
yeah,
in my head.
But I can't remember any of the lyrics. And that trailer is one of the trailers that I remember being like, this game's going to be great. This game's going to be amazing. And it didn't give anything away mm-hmm. about the story. It doesn't feature at all in the game. It's like a completely standalone thing that we never really see. And it's just like a really great look at like, it looks very similar to the game. So it doesn't feel like it's hours apart, you know, because she does this thing where she's like clenches her knuckles before she plays the guitar. And I remember being like, oh, those knuckles, look at them. They look so real. But I mean, that CGI trailer in particular is one that I remember being like, this game's going to be good. Like, this trailer is...
It's going to slap.
This game's going to slap. but yeah, it doesn't give anything away. Mm-hmm. Everything in it is, like, self-contained. But you get, like, the vibe immediately. There's, like, dead bodies. Ellie's, like, going to go on a rampage. It's just so good. It's just one of those trailers that I look back and I was like, yes. Yes! And then when I watched it this morning, I was like, yes!
I'm ready to record a podcast!
Let's
go!
Yeah. But those are my three that I remember being like, this is good. These are good.
Yeah. Dead Island is the one that everyone always mentions because that is the one that was just so impactful. And I think perhaps a trailer that most... Well, I think it sort of wears two crowns for me as one of the most influential and important and amazing CG video game trailers ever, but also as the prime example of the real danger of a CG trailer in that it does not represent the game at all. Mm. Not even a little bit. It takes place on an island and sometimes you are in hotels.
Yeah.
Everything that made that trailer so special was completely absent from the full game. So, you know, there we are. I remember being extremely excited when I saw the announcement trailer for Mass Effect 3, mm-hmm. which is just sort of a gruff London boy with a sniper and he's shooting at a Big Ben. And you don't know what the game's going to be apart from the fact it says BioWare at the start. Mm. And he's basically talking up how... everything's buggered and it's like they came from nowhere. They just suddenly arrived and it zooms out and it's London and there's just these huge Reapers, like the huge Reaper ships just all over and they're firing lasers and stuff and it zooms all the way up out into orbit and it shows the silhouette of Commander Shepard looking down over the action. Then he turns and walks towards the camera and you see the N7 logo on his arm. So good. And then it starts with a sort of synthy kind of music that Mass Effect has. Yeah. Excellent. Really good. Very short trailer. Does the job. Explains Earth is under attack. Commander Shepard needs to come and save the day, basically. Brilliant. I remember being extremely hyped for that. Then, of course, it does have a little bit of gameplay in it. But, basically, this. I'm just going to talk about a trailer that I really like, to be honest, because I think everything is taken from the game, but I don't think it really shows much gameplay. It was the trailer for Batman Arkham City, which has, it's a song called No Place for a Hero by The Heavy, mm-hmm. Which is also used at the beginning of Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
Ain't no place for a hero. You know that one?
From Borderlands 2? Is that the same song?
Yeah.
I thought it was There Ain't No Rest for the Wicked at the beginning of
Borderlands. No, that's Borderlands 1.
Oh.
Borderlands 2, different song.
Oh, yes. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ain't No Place for a Hero is a great song, and The Heavy are a great band. And if you listen to their album, a lot of their music gets used in a lot of stuff, actually, because it's great. Like How You Like Me Now, that's used in a lot of stuff. That's them as well. So... that trailer was fantastic. And again, it was just sort of, Batman, what are you like? You're silly. He's stuck in the big city now. The last one I put down is actually The Last of Us 1. That announcement trailer, which was, it says captured directly from a PlayStation 3, but it's none of it is from the game. It's all just in-engine stuff.
Yeah.
And it's Joel in a very violent fist fight with a guy in that hotel you go to at one point. Mm-hmm. And then just like, just caving his head in with like a big stick. And it's like, what the hell is, what is Naughty Dog making?
Yeah.
Then he talks to Ellie a little bit and then they get chased by the clicker. And there's that famous screenshot that you often see with The Last of Us where Joel is like leant up against a wall with his gun and he's sort of like wincing as he cocks the gun because he knows it's going to make a noise and the clicker's going to chase him and stuff. Brilliant trailer to set the sort of scene for what The Last of Us would be all about. There's some voiceover from Ellie as well. Very vague stuff, like he tells me about how there used to be lots of people here and stuff, which again, you know, there's not really much of that conversation in the game, but it's like a debut CG trailer. Not really CG, but still.
Yeah.
Really good. I think it sets the scene excellently. And, you know, the game would then take a further 3 or so years to even come out. But it was, yeah, really good. Really
it's
good.
It's a bit like in, what was it, the Game Awards? It must have been the Game Awards this last year. Or maybe it was Gamescom. I can't remember. Where there was the Spider-Man announcement trailer and the Wolverine one. Mm-hmm. And we literally just got like the swing of Wolverine's like claws. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh boy, yes, please. And then obviously the Spider-Man where there was Miles Morales and Peter Parker. And then out of the darkness.
Vernon.
And like, obviously, since then, you know, we've not heard a lot, but that's like enough to be like, oh, I'm ready now.
I remember not being so keen at the time, and we were talking about it on the podcast because I couldn't really pinpoint why. And I, you know, I think it's too early.
Spider-Man
and Wolverine. Like, I'm excited that those games are coming.
Yeah.
We sort of knew Spider-Man, a sequel to Spider-Man, was going to come anyway. Didn't know about Wolverine. But yeah, like I walked away from that not feeling too excited. And I don't know if there was gameplay, if I would have been more excited.
Maybe.
Or if really I would, you know, there's a whole debate to be had about whether or not, you know, when's the right time to reveal a game. We talked about that a few weeks ago, actually. But like, if all you can do is show a CG trailer of Wolverine extending his claws, as exciting as that is to know that that's coming.
Yeah, we're far off seeing
Could we just wait?
Yeah.
And maybe announce it. Because even the first Spider-Man game ended and it said now in active development, but it showed gameplay. Like it showed various snippets of real gameplay that would be in the final game. And that was, I found that way more exciting than the Wolverine announcement, as much as I'm looking forward to a Wolverine game. But you know. What are your favorites at home?
Yeah.
Let us know and put them
in
the comments and do tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to a rather strange section.
Oh, something a bit peculiar, perhaps.
Could it be weird news?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. This week, weird video game news is sponsored by the following podcast producers. Nathan.
Josh Plain.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Corey Duffel.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie Garrett.
And Gabrielle Philipping.
Thank you so much,
Thank
podcast
you so
producers.
Much, podcast producers.
If you'd like to become a podcast producer, go to patreon.com/team-triple-jump and support us at the appropriate tier. I just got an important email.
Oh, yeah?
From LinkedIn. Hi, Ben. I'd like to join your LinkedIn network.
Moxie?
Mad Moxie wants to be...
wants to be in your LinkedIn
Wants to be
network.
LinkedIn buds. She is the Chief Galactic Expansion Officer at Ballantine Scotch Whiskey, as we discussed on last week's podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's found me on...
Did she follow you on Twitter?
I don't know. Did she follow you?
Yeah.
Nice. I don't follow her on Twitter, to be fair. But she's just tried to add me on LinkedIn, which is very exciting. Will I accept? Maybe.
I don't ever use LinkedIn, you know. She's accepted my... When we first got the email, I, like, added her just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she has accepted me. So I am also LinkedIn with Mad Moxie.
So you're already there?
Yeah, I'm already
right,
there.
Right, okay. So you've complete. Why are we both on our phones?
Because so you brought it up and now
you
I, was,
just
I was just
completely looking. Undercut my exciting news about being added. And you're like, well,
I'm already best buds.
All right, well, screw me, I suppose. What weird news have you got, Ashton?
Well, I have some weird news that comes from Joe Halstead on Facebook. I believe it was submitted on Twitter as well, but it was a different article. So this one comes from NME, Me, written by Andy Brown. Russia reportedly bungles stage arrest for... Russia reportedly bungles staged arrest by mistaking SIM cards for The Sims. And then in quotes, I genuinely believe this is a dumb Federal Security Service officer being told to get three SIMs, said investigator Elliot Higgins. Russian Federal Security Service has been accused of staging an assassination plot and mistaking orders to plant SIM cards for The Sims after three copies of the game auspiciously appeared at the scene of an arrest alongside Nazi paraphernalia. Yesterday, April 25th, the Investigative Committee of the Russian Federation reported that six people had been arrested in regards to an assassination plot. According to the committee, the group were working with Ukrainian security services and planned to target journalists and alleged propagandist Vladimir Solovyov with a car bomb in Moscow. As reported by the New York Post, Shared images of the arrest scene led to skeptics suggesting the arrests were part of an operation to frame Ukrainian officials as Nazis, something that Vladimir Putin has repeatedly claimed since the launch of its invasion of Ukraine. The images in question display Nazi clothing and literature, Ukrainian passports, and, bizarrely, a copy of The Sims 3 with two physical expansions of the game. Since the images were shared, it's been suggested that Russian intelligence officer mistook the orders to plant three SIM cards for The Sims 3. Elliot Higgins, founder of investigation firm Bellingcat, joked that The Sims 3 is part of a classic saboteur checklist and said, I genuinely believe this is a dumb FSB officer being told to get three Sims. Likewise, BBC journalist Francis Scar joked the committee's extensive list of seized goods, including a bomb, thousands of rounds of ammo, seven guns and eight Molotov cocktails, sounded very realistic and added to the images that compromise a Ukrainian neo-Nazi starter pack. So, yeah, they accidentally put a copy of The Sims 3 instead of three Sims cards.
So they've accused some Ukrainian officials.
Of a Nazi plot to
assassinate some people of importance to Russia.
Yeah.
But potentially instead of including three SIM cards that would incriminate them, there are three copies of The Sims.
There's The Sims 3 and then two expansion packs.
Oh, my God. So they've just walked into like a Russian shop that sells CDs, DVDs and games and just picked up three copies of The Sims, and put them there.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's true?
I mean, we don't know, but I highly doubt that, like...
Why would they include it in the findings? Why would it be featured so prominently in the findings among the Nazi
stuff? You could just put them on the side if you're like, oh, they're terrorists, but also love to build houses in The Sims 3. We'll just leave those to the side. But no, they were front and center in the middle of these images shared by
unbelievable
the Russian security team or whatever.
That is so unbelievable.
It's quite funny, but also like absolutely categorically ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And
the thing is, if they hadn't have done that, people may have believed. Mm. But because they messed up so bad and got The Sims 3, everyone's like, oh, you know, I'm going to go on a limb here and say, this is
bollocks, potentially. Absolute bollocks. We stand with Ukraine.
We absolutely stand with Ukraine.
Would you like to know my weird news?
I would love to know your weird news.
My weird news comes from, I've lost the email, comes from Facebook, where Matthew Wesolowski, I believe, submitted it. And it is comicbook.com, written by Cade Onder. He sounds like a Mortal Kombat character.
He does sound like a Mortal Kombat. Cool name.
Randy Orton's Elden Ring level is absurdly high.
Okay.
Randy Orton has apparently been grinding... This isn't a great writer because it doesn't explain who Randy Orton is.
Who's Randy Orton?
Yeah, that should have been the first line of this. Come on, comic book. Randy Orton, who is a long-tenured WWE superstar...
Okay. I thought it was a wrestler.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. Has apparently been grinding the heck out of Elden Ring. It then explains what Elden Ring is for like... five paragraphs. WWE star Randy Orton revealed on Twitter that he is one of the bigger fans of Elden Ring. Orton noted how he is spending his free time while traveling by bus by playing Elden Ring. Good write-up. In response to a fan, the professional wrestler noted that he is an astonishing level 527 in Elden Ring, which may be a joke given how absurdly high it is. With that said, given he's spending a lot of time on the road, Elden Ring may be one of the few ways for him to entertain himself. Perhaps Orton's love for the game also pushed him to look up some glitches where he was able to quickly level up.
Maybe. What level are you in Elden Ring?
I should have proofread this.
For context.
Like level 200 and something.
Right, okay.
I do not believe for a second that this is legit. Anyway, I've got his tweets here. Someone said Knoxville to St. Louis is 7 hours. Randy Orton replies, 8 hours by bus. I'm playing Elden Ring and celebrating myself. I had to take a bathroom break, so I decided to check up on Elon. And first thing I saw was your comment. I'm assuming he's just talking about Twitter generally.
Yeah.
I felt inclined to respond, so I did. Now I'm going to go back to slaying demigods and absorbing their runes, says Randy Orton with a little emoji of a snake.
Good for him. It's good to have hobbies.
What's your rank? Someone replies, 527, lol. And then there are loads of responses that are just like, that is not really, that can't be right. You can't be 527. As somebody who has exploited the system to boost certain characters of mine, maybe Barbara for streams, to get to level 527 is a mammoth task. That is not, you're not doing that on the bus. Is he playing it on a laptop?
Maybe he's got a PlayStation, maybe?
He's got one of those really fancy buses.
An American, like, big tour bus.
That's true. I'm just thinking that he's just sat in a two-seater.
No.
You know, he's just sat next to someone else on the bus.
No, I don't think he will be.
You don't think that's likely?
No.
Okay. But there we are. That's literally the news article. It's not a great article. I think it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But the article I should have read in advance.
So you don't believe Randy?
I don't believe Randy Orton.
You think he's lying?
I think Randy Orton is lying. I think Randy Orton is playing Elden Ring. I don't think he's level 527. I do not believe that. If he's playing little sessions on the buses for a few hours at a time.
Mm.
I mean, those are good stints to be playing Elden Ring. They aren't good stints if you're level 527. That is all day, every day. Unless he's cheated, of course, which, you know, is fine. You can do that if you want, as long as you don't go and grief other players. But Randy Orton playing Elden Ring. He's playing Elden Ring and he's better than all of us, apparently.
Yeah, he's the best at Elden Ring.
Now, if you excuse me, I'm going back to slaying demigods and absorbing their runes. Snake emoji.
Snake emoji.
Because he's the Viper. That's his nickname. Oh, the Viper, Randy
okay.
Orton.
Okay, I thought maybe the snake has something to do with, like, the demigods.
Or could well be. There are snakes in the game. But he is a snake man. I didn't realize he signed off his tweets
I'm
with
a
little
snake.
With a little snake emoji. It's quite cute, actually. It's my weird news.
It's time for question three, I believe. This comes from Bartek Kubica. Luckily, Bartek included a how to pronounce my surname in their name.
Yeah.
Greetings, walruses. I recently finished Heavenly Sword. It was a weird game bearing signum temporis. It made me think about voice acting. Anna Torv was great. I didn't even recognise her. But I do, oh yes, recognise Andy Serkis. Mm-hmm. Veterans like Ashley Birch can play both Tiny Tina and Aloy. In Scarface game from 2006, Al Pacino personally chose the actor to replace him. On the other hand, I cannot imagine Johnny Silverhand speaking in any other in a voice other than Keanu Reeves. What's your opinion? Do you prefer the instantly recognisable Hollywood voice or the subtle range of voice actors? Bye-bye, skibbity-dibbity-bap.
Thank you, Bartek.
Thank you, Bartek.
So, what do you prefer? Do you like the famouses or do you like the voice actors?
I don't personally have a preference, but I would rather a voice actor was employed because they are talented than a Hollywood actor employed because of their name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I mean, not everyone is good at voice acting.
No.
And not everyone who is a good actor is necessarily good at voice acting. And I think that as long as, like, they're talented, I don't really have an issue with who's employed. However, I know that there are incredibly talented voice actors who do video games. Ashley Birch blows my mind. Like, having gone from playing Horizon to into Tiny Tina and being like, that's the same person. And it does blow my mind how, like, versatile that she is. Same with Laura Bailey.
Yes.
She's very talented as well. I mean, there's lots of obviously very talented voice actors, but I do think that, like, you can kind of tell when someone's been hired because they are famous and they have a very recognizable voice.
Yeah.
And I think that it, as much as that is great and it does sell your game, it doesn't always constitute a good character.
Peter Dinklage as Ghost in Destiny.
Yeah.
Matthew Perry in Fallout New Vegas as Benny.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland as Snake in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
Bad. Not bad. Good.
But, like, then you could go, like, Stephen Merchant as
Wheatley.
And
Samuel L. Jackson as the policeman officer in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Is he really?
He was good in that, yeah.
I didn't know he was in that. And then Bill Nye was in Destiny 1 and 2, I believe.
Yeah. Hmm. How do you feel about
him? I quite liked him in it. He wasn't in it very much. His character wasn't.
My problem with that, and it's the problem I also have with prolific voice actors who are in everything, Troy Baker, Nolan North, is that I hear them, and go, that's Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
That's Troy Baker. That's just Troy Baker. Like playing Miles Morales. The character he plays in Miles Morales is just his voice.
Yeah.
And there was a big problem for Nolan North, especially in sort of the late noughts into the early tens, is that he was in so much stuff. But clearly he was just being asked to do that voice, like just do Nathan Drake, which is kind of just his voice.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he was David in The Last of Us Part 1, and nobody knew it was him until the credits rolled. And it was like, oh my God, that was Nolan North. He can do other voices. Yeah. And then he played the Penguin in the Batman games as well. And again, you know, if you listen carefully, you can tell it's him.
Yeah.
But it's like they can do other voices. Troy Baker in particular is the worst example at the moment because he's in everything all the time.
Yeah.
But in The Last of Us, Joel doesn't sound like Troy Baker.
No.
And yet Troy Baker keeps doing roles where he is Troy Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And it really throws me off.
Yeah. I think that a lot of the time sometimes an actor will like just blend in so seamlessly to a character you don't even realize. The guys I sometimes, like you say, get surprised that who a voice actor is in a game, and I'm like, oh, I didn't notice that at all the whole way through. But then sometimes Mark Hamill has done voice acting for cartoons and video games and stuff, and you can't very often tell it's him. I mean, like, again, if you listen really carefully and you know it's someone, you can tell it's them. But sometimes someone will be like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so, and I'm like, I did not realize that until like someone tells me or like it's pointed out to me or they say something.
Yeah.
But like you say, sometimes it's just Troy Baker doing Troy Baker.
this is
as someone.
Yeah,
it's, just
it's Troy Baker's voice. This is why the Guardians of the Galaxy game was so nice.
Yeah,
because that was a cast of experienced people into from the world of acting, but they aren't prolific enough for me to identify any of their voices. And that was so nice and so refreshing. And you compare that to the Avengers, where they literally assembled Earth's mightiest voice actors. So it was like, I know who all these voices are. That's not Iron Man. That's Nolan North. They all just sound like they're voice actors. And they're extremely talented. And there's a reason that they get all these roles. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't take me out of the experience to hear them there. And exactly the same is true for bringing in famouses. You know, sometimes they do a good job and sometimes they don't.
Like when it's like their face as well, it puts me off. Like in Forbidden West, with Tilda being...
I don't know. I'm
from Matrix.
Oh, right.
The woman.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
What's her name?
It's not, her character in the Matrix.
Her real name.
I don't know her real name. Keanu's mate.
Yeah. I can't remember what her name is. But she plays Tilda, and it's just her.
Her face.
Her face. But, like, she's wearing a space outfit. Same with Johnny Silverhand. I'm like, well, it's just Keanu Reeves.
Mm.
Why couldn't we just change his face a little bit? Like, I know people love Keanu Reeves, and he is a handsome man. Same with Death Stranding. It's just like...
Baker.
This is Troy Baker.
That's Troy Baker right there. Or and Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus. Like, I'm like, this is just them.
I think it's okay.
It takes me out when I know that like they're in movies and they have the same face in movies and stuff. But I can have... There's like a level of disconnect when you're watching a movie in that like these people have... They always look like human beings. They're going to have to look like themselves because they're just acting in front of a camera. But a video game where you've got all of these like made up characters that are all completely kind of separate. Like Aloy doesn't look like Ashley Birch because she'd be about 3 foot tall, 3 foot shorter even. And like she looks very different. And when you know these characters are created and then you just have one person who is a real person, it always puts me off.
Yeah.
Do you know what her name is? Yeah.
No, I wasn't actually looking her up. I was looking up a different person because I can't find who the actor is. I think it's okay if... Why does the Wikipedia not tell me who played this character? Wikipedia is good, isn't it? Okay, I can't find them. Basically, what I was going to say is I don't mind a celebrity appearing in a game if they do a good job as themselves with their own face. What throws me off it is when they appear in... And this is a weird disconnect that I don't have with films.
Yeah.
And I don't have with TV shows. It'll just be like, oh, it's them. Cool.
Carrie-Anne Moss.
Carrie-Anne Moss. What does throw me off, though, is when we've got games and we're starting to have this now... where the same famous person / actor will appear in more than one game, but have the same face. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, but I played alongside you in that game.
Yeah.
So the lady who plays Sia Junda in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Sia Bunda, maybe. she is also in a couple of other things as well. Yeah. I think she might be in an upcoming... Tom Clancy game as well. Right. I can't remember. She was at the Game Awards or Gamescom Opening Night Live or something like that. And it was just like, you're meant to be in Star Wars. You can't be in this as well as with the same face. That's really throwing me off. I think it's best when they do the voice and then they're like, can you imagine if Joel looked like Troy Baker? That would be so weird. And then you'd see Joel in Death Stranding as well, wearing a gold mask. Like, no, that would be weird. I don't know why there's a disconnect between films and games.
I think it's the same thing of like when we were talking about, you know, sex scenes in movies versus sex scenes in video games. Is that being in so much more involved in a video game and like having so much more kind of control over a character or like the side character and having them with you when you're playing a game that you kind of... Every game, like every IP, is so different that if you go from playing, like, you know, Jedi Fallen Order to what's the game that she's in that you just say?
Who?
Oh, a Tom Clancy game.
Oh yeah. I'm not sure which one.
These are completely different like experiences, and they're so self-contained. Mm. And then suddenly, like, oh, well, it's just her, but she's now she's in like a full suit of armor with a gun.
I'd much
stuff.
Prefer they just do the voice and have them be a different person.
I don't know what it is. I think it is just the level of control you have in a video game and the level of kind of choice that you can make, that when you're suddenly given them again somewhere else, it can be a bit off-putting.
Yeah.
And even with sometimes with voices, like you say, if it's just, you know, Nolan North doing Nolan North in this game, and then, oh, it's just Nolan North doing Nolan North in this game, it's kind of like, well, this, it's hard to kind of be like, well, this is the same character, or like, this is the same person, and I know that for a fact. There's a level of disconnect you have to have from the actors and the game itself to really enjoy the story, I think, and sometimes it can bring you out of it quite a lot.
Yeah, ultimately, as long as they do a good job, that's fine. But there are certainly aspects that do, they don't wind me up, but they do. It's a bit of a mental hurdle to overcome. Mm-hmm. Just sort of, that's the same guy, or that's just Kiefer Sutherland. He's been brought in to replace a very popular and beloved voice actor who's had this role for 20 years.
Yeah,
and he's clearly too expensive for them to write many lines for him. So he stands in a lot of scenes silently.
Yeah.
And all he does is speak like Kiefer Sutherland. It's weird. Like, it's just bizarre. You can, sometimes it's so, I suppose on the topic of bringing in real big name Hollywood actors, they have to really get involved and get stuck in. They can't just be brought in for name value alone. And I think so many times that is the case, where it's like, we got Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones to do the Destiny ghost bot. It's like, great. Is he going to do a good job? No.
But his name's on it.
Well, then couldn't you have got literally anyone else, like Nolan North, who they eventually ended up using, who does talk like Nolan North, but in a slightly higher voice. That's just Nolan North. I'd prefer that to Dinklage phoning it in.
But so, like, I think Keanu Reeves did a great job as Johnny Silverhand. And I think that, like, he's obviously, he's Keanu Reeves. He gets into anything you put him in. But, like, I do think that you can tell when they've just been like, you have to, you've been signed a contract, you have to do this. And they're like, okay, fine. But also, there's a thing of, like, voice actors have a certain following, like the Claptrap voice actor, obviously got swapped for Borderlands 3. He's not doing it anymore. And I think that there was a lot of people being like, well, no, I don't like it. It's not quite correct. It's slightly different, and I don't like different. Bring back normal. And I think that there's obviously a fair enough, the whole Claptrap thing was interesting in itself. But I think that people have a connection with a lot of voices after a certain series of games that you've played with.
They changed Vaughn as well. Vaughn had a different voice.
Yeah, that's true. Or was it the other guy?
Which one was Vaughn? Was Vaughn the one
Vaughn
who's running around in his pants?
In his pants.
Okay, not Vaughn.
Reese.
Reese, yeah. That was literally a Troy Baker voice. Literally a Troy Baker voice, Reese. And they just recast him, and it was so weird seeing him speak without that voice.
Yeah.
Really bizarre.
Yeah. It is weird.
It's very important, though. I can't quite put my finger on precisely what matters and what doesn't, but it does make a difference. It's an important thing for developers to keep in mind. Shall we move on to something? Are you all right?
Yeah, my jeans are really tight. I haven't even sat down too long.
Okay, what we'll do is we're
squeezing
the next section.
You can fat thighs.
You can do a little stretch. Is what I was going. You didn't have to say that. And then we'll do big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion, which comes courtesy this week of Fergus Jeffs. Fergus says, hey guys, recent reports have surfaced saying that both Microsoft and Sony have plans to implement ads into their free-to-play games in the near future. The plan is for these ads to become part of the natural gameplay experience, like digital billboards, and to offer in-game rewards to players for watching certain ads and promotions. Personally, how do you feel about ads being featured in video games, albeit free-to-play titles? Is this a natural progression to ensure that these games and their developers make money, or is advertising something that you believe shouldn't be included in any video game, regardless of its model? All the best, Fergus Jeffs. Nearly rhymed. Can you imagine if his last name
was... All the Beths, Fergus Jeffs.
Yes, please sign off all your correspondence like that from now on. I've got a little write-up here from VG247 that goes into some more detail. According to sources speaking with Business Insider, Sony is currently testing with ad tech partners to help developers insert ads in free-to-play games as a way for studios to monetize titles. Currently, the ads are limited to in-menu, and Sony intends to put the plan into place by the end of 2022. The ads would eventually be inserted into PlayStation games, but they would appear as part of the game, similar to a digital billboard. The report goes on to state that players who watch ads could be rewarded with in-game items such as skins. Microsoft's plan would see advertisers place ads inside free-to-play games as well. The firm is currently looking into various ad tech companies and ad agencies to help with the process, said sources speaking with Business Insider. The company seems adamant, though, that the ads be subtle and akin to dynamically rendered billboards so as not to impede gameplay. It also doesn't want customer data to be used by other companies. Microsoft is looking for ads to go live by the third quarter.
See, I was a bit confused about this.
Yes.
Because if I remember correctly, there's already adverts in games. There's already, like, stuff all over the place. I don't know if you remember Death Stranding, about bajillion cans of Monster.
Well, that's
it. I know that it's, like, more obvious, like not just product placement, but things like FIFA on the whatever the bit around, you know, they've all got, there's like Adidas adverts and, you know, adverts. I know that it's kind of meant to build the game, but they could make fake ones up.
And that's probably already stuff that's agreed. That's part of the licensing agreement with FIFA, because they probably already sponsor FIFA. Exactly. Same goes for WWE, the most recent game, and the last few games have always had like tie-in trophies with like KFC and Snickers and stuff. There's like the Snickers Satisfies trophy, and there's a Snickers logo.
Ooh, I like Snickers.
I don't.
I think I'm hungry.
It's pretty insidious, but I don't think that's a decision by 2K to make more money. No. I think that's already a contract thing that WWE has with those companies.
But I think, don't my games like Forza and...
Forza Horizon and Gran Turismo.
Don't they have like adverts and stuff on billboards?
I can't speak to those specifically, but there have been plenty.
I've not played Gran Turismo, but I don't know if I'm remembering correctly or if it's like a just slightly fake advert from like Forza. But I just seem to remember there being like things on cars, and you could sponsor them by like sponsored by Red Bull or whatever, with a lot of like race cars.
Again, that might be, another contractual thing, but that money probably doesn't benefit the developer. Yeah. That won't benefit Microsoft, probably.
But I think, personally, as long as it doesn't interrupt my gaming experience, you know, if I'm not in like a Horizon kind of situation and suddenly I'm stumbling upon an ad, like a billboard that's still working, that's got an ad for like Coca-Cola or something on it, it's not like massively taking me out of the experience. If it's just in the menu and it's just like, you know, how on YouTube there's the little bottom ads that pop up, or
banner ads.
A little banner ad, or like, or if it's just kind of like on the like scrolly thing that they sometimes have that goes through like announcements, I don't really mind that much. If it's a free-to-play game that I'm not paying for and I don't pay for any microtransactions and I'm not like actively paying for customized, like gun customizations or skins or anything, I don't mind. If it starts coming into games that I've paid for, maybe I'll be a bit miffed.
That's
because I've
concern,
already given them
it?
Like £70. I don't want to then have to sit through an advert to play my game. But if I haven't paid anything for it and I've never given this company any of my money, put a little advert in there. I don't mind. I sit through adverts on my Project Makeover app all the time. And I don't mind.
I don't think that there's a person alive who plays games that will be happy about this news.
I'm not over the moon.
But there is a chance that it might not affect things too badly. Mm-hmm. But then again,
we don't know yet.
It's just going to keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And how long is it before someone takes it too far? Yeah. That's not to say that someone will. Definitely. But it's probably pretty likely someone's going to take it too far. We've done a top 10 list before about shameless product placement in video games. Mm. Weirdly, a lot of them are Kojima games. Alan Woke, where he there's like Duracell adverts and stuff, just like really like, what is going on here? This is bizarre. I think Obama ran billboard adverts in Burnout Paradise, I think, at the time, briefly.
Good.
Just stuff like that, where it's As long as it doesn't take you out of the experience, that's fine. A lot of games have done it. The Monster Energy is just, there's no defending that. I'm sorry. No defending Monster Energy in Death Stranding at all. That just does not make any contextual sense whatsoever.
That's the thing, contextually, like, if it makes sense, like I was saying, Horizon, if we find like a knocked down billboard that's like all scuffed up and like rubbish.
Come and get the new
that says,
taco
like,
ball.
Cola on it. But it's not like flashing and bright or whatever. Like, okay, it's an advert, but it contextually makes
sense. You make
sense.
Your way through a ruined building and there's one relic of the past. it's just a perfectly preserved KFC. Just
with a man still
with a
there.
With a man
like,
waiting
to serve you chicken.
Oh, you want a double down?
You want a 20-piece hot wing bucket? But yeah, like, if it makes contextual sense, then I guess, like, then there's already probably going to be an advert there. Like, if there should be an advert there in the context, pretty much guarantee there's going to be an advert there. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
But as long as that doesn't... It sounds like both Sony and Microsoft are going to be pretty strict about the fact that it has to be free-to-play titles. Neither company offers that many, I believe, at the moment, but Sony is looking to make like 10 live service games or something in the next decade or whatever. Yeah, fantastic. Woo-hoo! So it'll probably be chock full of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, as long as it makes contextual sense, like Crazy Taxi, for example, worked so well with it had a Pizza Hut in it and a KFC and stuff like that. And it didn't feel odd. You know, take me to the KFC. I want to go to the KFC. Like that, nobody had any issue with that because it just kind of made sense.
Yeah.
But a game, like I think my mind can't be taken off these ads being in like a premium product. So like a GTA or a Saints Row, games like that, where you would imagine it would be perfect to put real ads in, but half the appeal of those games is the humor of the fake world.
It's not real.
Yeah, the fake ads, the advert for pretend things. If they started putting stuff in there, that would be rubbish. That would ruin such a huge part of what makes those games special. Mm. You know, their own unique charm and their ridiculous writing and so on and so forth. What do you think about rewards being offered for sitting through an advert?
Wow. When I play Project Makeover, I will watch adverts to get an extra life. And only if I'm feeling like I can do it this time. I can definitely do it this time. Okay. But most of the time, I don't bother. But, like, I think that if you're... I would rather sit through an advert than have to pay real money for something.
Mm.
Like, if it's, like, a minute-long advert, fine. If I want it bad enough... A skin for my gun. If I want that pink skin for my gun bad enough.
In Project Makeover.
Mm-hmm. I will sit through the advert. I would rather sit through an advert than pay £1 for it.
But
also, I'd rather not have to do either of those things.
You do realize that these skins, I'm just realizing, and now do you realize that these skins, these reward skins you're getting will probably be directly related to the advert you're watching.
Yeah.
If you watch this advert, you will get a Big Mac grenade.
Yeah, a Big Mac grenade. Yeah. But like, if you watch this, your gun will
that
say
that actually sounds rad, though. I kind of want a Big Mac grenade.
That sounds kind of good.
Sounds wicked. But yeah, it's someone's going to take it too far.
Yeah, and then everyone will be like,
"Now the
absolutely not.
Well, that's the thing. If people don't kick up enough of a fuss... Yeah. The floodgates will be open and it's game over, quite frankly.
It only takes one bad apple to put a stupid thing in a game.
Put a stupid thing in a game.
And we're all screwed.
Perfect. That's the phrase. Put it on a tea towel.
Yeah.
As you say, though, these kinds of in-ad implementations or sort of in-game ad implementations, sorry, this isn't new to gaming, but it is very much a pillar of mobile gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people listening to this podcast probably don't play that many mobile games, or at the very least, that isn't their primary source of gaming. They won't go home and play a mobile game for the evening, for example. Not that anyone would
do that, I suppose. That's not a good example.
But even so, I imagine most people will get their primary gaming entertainment from a console or a PC who are listening or watching this.
Yeah.
And so... the prospect of ads going into those kinds of games is probably quite daunting, and that's why there's a big fuss being kicked up about this.
Mm.
However, when I used to play mobile games, there was always a part of me that hoped in those games that you couldn't buy, they were just free and they were stuffed full of adverts. I wish they just offered a premium version so I could get rid of all of this crap.
Nowadays, they mostly do. They're like play ad free.
But are we going to get that on console? Or is it, are we, if you want to play Sony's hit Destiny inspired live service game, so excited. We're all excited for it.
So excited.
Are they going to offer a premium version? Are they going to offer a subscription to get rid of adverts? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of...
But then would you pay for it? Would you pay for a game that everyone else is playing for free just because you don't like adverts?
You don't like adverts. Well, that's the thing. It depends how bad they make the adverts. The and if they want to sell this, they're going to really ramp up the adverts to make them completely obnoxious.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Even in a free-to-play game, you don't want that.
No.
But my main concern is it sneaking its way into full-priced games. Mm-hmm. And as long as we don't get there, that's fine. But there are very few free-to-play games that I've played that have really held my attention. I think Warzone is the only one, and that's only because all of my friends played it. And mm-hmm. as soon as we started, one or two of us stopped playing it, none of us play it anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily the game that was keeping us there. It was just
a game to play together.
A communal thing that we could play. Yeah, exactly. So if there was a game that was full of obnoxious adverts, and it was pretty fun, but then they said, hey, you pay $5 a month, we'll take this away. I'd be like, absolutely not. Let me buy. It will be almost like the live streaming situation we're in at the moment, where you've got to have a billion different live streaming packages to be able to watch all the stuff that you used to be able to get from Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to make me think, man, do you remember when we used to pay £50 to £70 for like a really good finished game that had no adverts in it? Whatever happened to that? Can we go back to that?
I think you're right.
I'm not thrilled about this. I don't think anybody will be. But it doesn't sound like it's going
to... If it's just what they say it is, mm-hmm. if it's just what they have said, it's just free-to-play games and it will mainly just be in the menu or on like digital billboards, then fine. As long as it stays that and that's all it ever becomes in this capitalist nightmare of a world, then that's fine. But if it starts to sneak in, like you say, to everything else, then I will eat my words and I will say this is not a good thing and I hate it. But for now, I don't mind.
You don't mind.
Because it's just, if it's what they say it is, then it doesn't personally affect me that much. And if I did like to play a free-to-play game,
mm-hmm.
it's free. I've not paid any money for
it. It's very true. You could always just bugger off.
Yeah, exactly.
Not play it. Interestingly, though, from this write-up, Sony intends to put the plan into place by the end of 2022. Currently, as far as I'm aware, Sony doesn't really have any free-to-play games at all, which leads me to believe that there might be a free-to-play game by the end of 2022, mm-hmm. by the end of this year. Microsoft looking for ads to go live by the third quarter. I don't know if that's their financial year or not, but certainly towards the end of this year, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
I know Sea of Thieves is free to play, but I have no idea what kind of contextual ads would go into Sea of Thieves, really. Grog. Anyone want to buy Grog?
Captain Morgan's rum.
Maybe. Probably. Honestly, could well be that. Some sort of banana brand, Dole, or whatever they're called, could go in there. But there may be some sneaky hints there that we might be getting some games mm-hmm. for this monetization to be used for, at least tested on. So,
goody.
So exciting. The gaming is the future and the future is bright.
Yeah.
Love it. Let us know what you think, of course, of the in-game adverts. And if you think this is the worst thing to ever happen, or we just don't know enough information yet. We just got to wait and see if the world burns. It will. It will burn. Mm-hmm. But maybe not for this reason.
Not yet, anyway.
Soon.
Potentially.
Soon, though.
A couple years' time.
Get excited. Soon.
The world's going to be on fire.
Yeah, it already is in some bits. So it's all good. Anyway, until then, we'll bury our heads in the sand and play video games until those are ruined as well. Ashton, if people wanted to get in touch with us.
Can I tell them where to find us?
Yes, please.
Okay. You can find us on youtube.com and twitch.tv/team-triple-jump. We do videos and live streams on both of those. We do live streams on Twitch sometimes and on YouTube sometimes. And when we do those live streams, we're modded by Lord Brodovich, Charlie Badger, and Mr. Black. If you have an Amazon Prime subscription, well, guess what you get? A free Twitch sub, in case you didn't know. And if you fancy maybe just giving a little nod to us without having to pay any extra in the Amazon Prime subscription, why not give your free Twitch sub to us? We have a Twitter and a Facebook. It's twitter.com/team-triple-jump for video game and live stream videos and live stream announcements on Twitter and some legacy content on Facebook, and also just please follow us on Facebook. That'd be so great. Thanks so much. We are, thank you to Fraser, who manages the community and the Facebook and the Twitter. He does a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. We have a TikTok, tiktok.com/@TeamTripleJump. I don't know why there's an at in it, but there just is. And we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Check out the tiers. There's all kinds of cool things going on the Patreon if you fancy looking. We have a website, shippleju.mup. That's shippleju.mp. It spells jump. Isn't that clever?
It is.
If you want to join our Discord and talk to our wonderful community, why not go to shippleju.mup/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, bloody well do it. I don't know what I was going to say. If you were listening to...
I once went to a service station, right?
Okay.
And it said that we've got Wi-Fi, it said. And yeah. I thought it said We Fit. And I was really excited. They've got a We Fit here. Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
They've got a waifu here.
A waifu. Will you be my waifu? If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form, as maybe you're going shopping with a colleague at the weekend and want to blur them out with some... think fun, why not go to shippleju.mup/podcast to find out where you can
them out
to. But they talk to you and you can just put your headphones in and pretend you're listening but actually listening to a podcast instead.
Wow.
Blur them out.
That's so rude.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. If you want to buy some sick and cool merch, wrong side, this side, this is a cool, look how cool this jacket is.
It's a cool jacket.
You can still buy our limited edition cat t-shirt till the 5th of May. Mm-hmm. And all profits go to Cats Protection, and I think they're pretty nifty t-shirts.
Yeah.
You can go to triplejumpshop.com and make sure you're following at triplejumpshop on Twitter to find out about all the latest merch announcements. So there.
My turn. Why not follow Plop Boy and Ashton on Twitter and Instagram at that Peter Austin and at Scrambled Ashton and myself just on Twitter at Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everybody else. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the bloody time. Why not leave a review on iTunes or your platform of choice? A 5-star review.
If you wouldn't mind.
It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. So much coming out this week. So much going on. Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. 9,700 now. Please get us to 10. We are so close. Worst Games Ever. It is a Worst Games Ever week.
It is a Worst Games Ever week.
It's also a Main Menu week, isn't it?
Yeah, finally. This one, we filmed this one ages ago.
We did film this one a long time ago.
There is, this one is a little bit broken. In that, in the middle of filming it, the microphone stopped working.
You can still hear everything
we say. You can still
hear
everything we say. It's just, sometimes you just hear James breathing down the camera.
It's nice because you can hear him laugh.
I think it adds a little something
to it.
And
you can hear him tell Mr. Happy that he loves him.
Yeah.
Which you would never have heard.
No, he whispers him a little, I love you. And we would never have heard that otherwise. Yeah. But I think it's really good. It's pretty gross. Should be out now. So we made banana beef pudding from World of Warcraft.
Mm.
At the request of... editor Alex's fiance Sarah.
Oh, really?
She said, why do you never make anything World of Warcraft? And then I think she sent me the recipe, or she sent Alex to send it to me, mm-hmm. the recipe. So it was inspired by her.
Incredible. Well, there we are.
It's a good one.
We are in the Cats Protection newsletter for spring.
We are.
If you got one in the post like I did the other day and thought, oh, is this the one? Because I know that we're meant to be in it.
We're in
the middle, centerfold, picture of all three of us. There we are.
The only centerfold we may ever make.
Mm, no, one of many, I'm sure. The first of many. Mm-hmm. We finally got our 100,000 subscriber plaque in the post.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah, we finally got that. You will have seen us post photos with it. We're on 207,000 subscribers now. We passed 100,000 before you even joined. And we didn't realize that you had to apply for one. So we've just been waiting. And eventually we realized we applied for one and now it's arrived. And that's nice. It's exciting.
Ours looks much nicer than Cultaholic's.
Oh, it does. Theirs is one of those rubbish ones in like the little glass box. Mm. Ours is all shiny and silver. It's good stuff. We set a speedrun record for Puss in Boots.
We did.
After the Cats Protection stream last week, where we raised a lot of money. And thank you so much to all of you for all your support. Remember, triplejumpshop.com if you want to buy a limited edition cat shirt featuring all three of us as cats. You can go do that. We played through the whole of Puss in Boots on Wii without realizing that it was that short.
We would finish it.
And then one of our mods in the live stream chat said, oh, by the way, currently you're on record for like third fastest speed mm-hmm. speed run. Like, well, might as well.
And this was with us stopping to swap players and also at one point taping a sword to my hand.
Yeah, we were not going
for a speed run, but we are third best.
We are third best. I submitted the speed run time. Turns out that there were no listed moderators. So then I got in touch with speedrun.com, said, hey, do you need a moderator for this? I'll do it. And so we're now in charge of Puss in Boots, Captain Scarlet, and the Sniper 2.
And hopefully, if tonight goes as planned, mm-hmm. we'll also hold the speedrun for Jungle Book Groove Party
speedrun. Yep, I will be submitting that tomorrow as soon as the VOD goes live. Hugely exciting. And then we will hold four speedrun records. Not first place, but we are on the leaderboards. We've set speedrun mm-hmm. records. So what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
Incredible. Ashton, one more time, could you tell me the name of the sponsor for this week?
Of course I can. New entry into the Bible in time for Easter, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks mm-hmm, ago. Mm-hmm. It's, of course, the Stanley's Parable, Ultra Deluxe Edition.
Praise be to Stanley.
Amen.
Amen. Amen Holmes. Yeah. Thank you so much for watching / listening, everybody. We will see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.